If you lead a dental practice and the idea of selling is on your mind for the next few years, let's take a considered look at the market. We'll explore how things stand in 2026 and what you'll need to navigate. The UK dental practice sale market has certainly seen a strong run of demand recently. For example, in 2025, one practice in Manchester attracted 37 viewings and 27 offers. We've seen similar competition across Liverpool, Cheshire, and Lancashire. Sale prices had dipped a little in 2023, but they've recovered well through 2024 and 2025. Large private equity-backed groups such as My Dentist, Portman Dentex, Roderick's Dental, and Bupa Dental Services have reported their gross profits rising by 20% year-on-year between 2023 and 2024. For practice owners, the landscape for buyers has never been more diverse or indeed more aggressive. The question is no longer whether to sell to a dental service organization or DSO, but rather which one, on what terms, and with what level of clinical autonomy you retain. If you're exploring your options, it's worth beginning by understanding three key contractual areas that determine value: your exposure to NHS contracts, your reliance on associates, and the quality of your lease. This guide will cover valuation methods, current earnings multiples, identifying key DSO buyers in the UK, the mechanics of transferring NHS contracts, the impact of the 2026 NHS reform, and outline the sale process that generally achieves the best value. In the UK, financial professionals typically use three main methods to value dental practices. Discerning buyers and advisors use all three to triangulate an accurate valuation. The first is the EBITDA multiple. This is the dominant method for practices generating more than about £150,000 in normalised earnings. EBITDA, for those unfamiliar, is a measure of a company's profitability, calculated as earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortisation. UK dental EBITDA multiples typically range from 6.5 times to 9.5 times, depending on the practice's profile, its recurring revenue mix, and its growth prospects. For instance, a practice with £350,000 of EBITDA, valued at 7 times, would yield an enterprise value of £2.45 million. You need to consider how EBITDA is adjusted, for example, for owner add-backs or associate cost adjustments, and whether the figure is for an owner-operated or an associate-led practice. These can make a big difference. Next, there's the goodwill percentage of turnover. This method is often used for smaller, owner-operated practices and for quick benchmarking. In 2024 and 2025, mixed NHS and private practices typically traded at 90 to 130% of turnover, fully private practices at 110 to 160%, and NHS-only practices at 60 to 100%, depending on the contract value and location. Finally, there is discounted cash flow. This is primarily used by sophisticated DSO acquirers for larger practices and group transactions. It captures the growth trajectory, the risk of NHS contract renewal, capital expenditure cycles, and assumptions around associate retention, areas that a simple single-period EBITDA multiple cannot. Most owners won't see this method applied in isolation, but it often underpins large DSO offers. The distinction between owner-operated and associate-led practices is really important. Associate-led practices are those where the principal doesn't provide significant chair time, and all dentist labour costs are already reflected in the profit and loss statement. Their reported EBITDA therefore reflects the true, sustainable profit. Owner-operated practices, by contrast, add back the principal's notional income, which results in a higher EBITDA but often lower multiples, typically 4.5 times to 6.5 times, compared to 7 times to 9.5 times for associate-led practices of similar quality. This isn't arbitrary. Buyers rightly recognize that owner-operated practices carry a continuity risk once the principal exits. Let's consider some typical EBITDA multiple ranges based on practice type. For a small, owner-led NHS or mixed practice with an EBITDA of £100,000 to £250,000, multiples might range from 4.5 to 6 times, leading to an enterprise value of £450,000 to £1.5 million. For a mid-sized associate-led mixed practice With an EBITDA of £250,000 to £600,000, multiples often sit between 6.5 and 8 times, with an enterprise value of £1.6 million to £4.8 million. Larger private or mixed associate-led practices, with an EBITDA of £600,000 to £1.5 million, can see multiples of 7.5 to 9.5 times, valuing them at £4.5 million to £14.3 million. Specialist practices such as orthodontics, implants, or cosmetic dentistry, with an EBITDA above £400,000, might achieve multiples of 8 to 11 times, starting at £3.2 million. Multi-site groups with three or more locations and an EBITDA of £1 million or more typically command multiples of 9 to 12 times, translating to £9 million and upwards. Finally, DSO platforms themselves, with an EBITDA exceeding £3 million, trade at the highest end, often 10 to 14 times, starting from £30 million. Multi-site groups and larger DSO platforms command higher multiples because they are the preferred assets for private equity sponsors, either as foundational investments or as strategic bolt-ons to existing portfolios. These figures are generally in line with a 5 to 8 times add-on range for bolt-on practices acquired by US DSO platforms and revenue multiples of approximately 1 to 1.8 times. In the UK, the regulated NHS contract adds both complexity and stability, depending on the buyer's strategy. Looking ahead, April 2026 brings the most significant overhaul of NHS dental contracts in two decades, and this will directly affect how buyers price practice goodwill. The reforms introduce higher payments for complex and high-needs patients through nationally set care packages, improved remuneration for denture work and preventive treatments, and expanded NHS benefits eligibility. The valuation implications are mixed. Practices focused on complex care and prevention might see their unit of dental activity, or UDA, values rise modestly. However, those reliant on high volumes of simple routine treatments might see effective UDA values fall, as funding is reallocated towards complex casework. Buyers in 2026 are already stress-testing pre-reform UDA performance against the new payment structure before committing to multiples. In parallel, the Competition and Markets Authority launched a review of private dentistry in early 2026, covering pricing transparency, complaints handling, and ownership concentration. While not a deal blocker for owners selling in 2026, this review does create an extra due diligence checkpoint. DSO buyers are scrutinizing compliance with disclosure and complaint standards more rigorously than they did previously. The single most important practical issue when selling a mixed or NHS practice is how the General Dental Services contract transfers to the new owner. NHS dental contracts cannot be sold directly. They are held by the contract holder, and the buyer must either be incorporated into that contract or receive a novation through the local NHS Integrated Care Board. Most UK dental sales today occur via a share sale of the limited company that holds the contract. Often, the principal has incorporated the contract into a limited company ahead of the sale. For sole trader contracts, the process involves either the seller incorporating before the sale and then selling shares, or in some cases, adding the buyer as a partner before the seller resigns from the contract via a special partnership transfer route that can take 6 to 24 months. This really matters for value. Buyers explicitly factor in NHS contract transfer risk. A contract held within a clean limited company structure with at least 12 months of trading history is worth significantly more than a sole trader contract requiring incorporation as a condition of sale. Owners ideally should structure their operations for sale 18 to 24 months in advance, incorporating the practice and running the contract through the limited company well before going to market. Approval from NHS England or the Integrated Care Board for contract changes typically takes 6 to 12 weeks. Completions are often scheduled 4 to 6 months after heads of terms are agreed, to allow time for NHS approval, CQC registration changes, lease assignment, and finance. Owners who underestimate this timeline often incur carrying costs, such as locum coverage or associate retention bonuses, which can reduce their net sale proceeds. Let's consider the key corporate buyers likely to approach UK dental practice owners in the coming months. Portman Dentex, for example, is a UK and Ireland leader and continues to acquire premium private and mixed practices. My Dentist, the UK's largest dental group by site count and historically focused on NHS-weighted practices, remains an active buyer. Roderick's Dental Partners is a mid-market consolidator active across England and Wales. Bupa Dental Services, an insurer-backed group with a private and prevention focus, is selectively active. Other names include Genesis Dental Care, Dental Partners, and Riverdale Healthcare. You'll also find independent buyers and search funds competing in the £500,000 to £3 million enterprise value range. These are often dentist-led, sometimes backed by family offices. They typically pay slightly lower multiples than larger corporate consolidators, but they can offer faster completion, more flexibility on earnouts, and a greater continuity of practice culture. Increasingly, US and European DSO platforms are viewing the UK as a target market. Owners running competitive processes should expect to see at least one international participant for mid-market and larger transactions. What generally drives premium multiples? Six factors consistently set top quartile multiples apart. A private mix above 50%. These practices trade at 1 to 2 times higher multiples than NHS-heavy equivalents because private revenue is uncapped and more easily grown. Stable associates, long-tenured associates with restrictive covenants and clear handover plans significantly reduce buyer risk. High associate turnover or principal-dependent revenue can reduce multiples by 1 to 2 times. Lease quality. A lease with 10 or more years remaining and manageable rent reviews attracts DSO buyers. Short leases, under 7 years, limit the buyer universe. Freehold or owned premises typically fall outside the EBITDA multiple and are treated as separate property transactions. CQC compliance and clinical governance. Recent CQC reports with no enforcement actions, documented clinical governance processes, and clean complaints histories all support premium pricing. Any open actions or pending complaints will create value risk. Growth trajectory. Practices showing at least 5% organic revenue growth over 3 years command premium pricing. Buyers pay for future potential, not just current EBITDA. Finally, specialist services and equipment. In-house implant capability, orthodontics, cosmetic procedures, or recent investments in advanced digital scanning equipment can justify premium multiples, especially for buyers building specialist-led platforms. For maximum value, you'll need to run a structured sale process rather than waiting for inbound approaches. Preparation, ideally 12 to 24 months before sale, involves incorporating the practice and running the NHS contract through a limited company. You should normalize the principal's salary and remove non-business expenses. Ensure associate contracts have appropriate restrictive covenants. Refresh your CQC registration and address any